All right, we're live. All right, welcome back to Talk with Army. I'm your co-host, Delilah.
And I'm your co-host, Daisy.
And we're just going to pick up where we left off. We finished Army Anonymous 11 Part 1, and we made the decision to split this into three parts instead of two because we talk too much.
As per usual, what is new? So I guess we're going to pick up right where we left off. And so we had just finished the general and music and performance section. So now we're going to go to external fandom issues. A bit smaller than usual, but we're going to get into it anyway. So the first submission says, "What's with everyone saying armies are toxic? I've never seen so many kind people in a fandom. Are they jealous of BTS's success? And what is with the dumb interview questions?" And this is from the USA. Oh, I forgot. They added like a face-palming emoji at the end too.
Well, friend, I wish we had an answer, but armies are just an easy target. It's been like this since like 2014, 2015. It is just never ending. And when it comes to dumb interview questions, Western journalists are just trash. Like, that's just what it is. Like, they're, especially when it comes to music publications, because not many music publications are really that interested in trying to just get straightforward, honest, genuine answers. The music industry is extremely political, and that is going to influence how journalists are supposed to interact with music artists. It's very annoying, and unfortunately that's just how it is.
Right, and you know, that was what somebody was talking about in a previous submission in the first part of this Army Anonymous segment, how the music industry is quite political, and so, you know, you're going to have, you know, music related media outlets and stuff like that who may cover BTS, but not with the depth that they deserve, not with the respect that they deserve. And it's really all just another big scheme to keep them under, you know? They see that BTS is out here making waves, and whether or not they understand why or how it happened is really up to the publication, but for certain, there is never an emphasis on trying to get to know BTS, understand them as people, understand them as artists, and understand how they work. The same with the fandom. Every time the fandom is covered, it's honestly very rare that we will ever get an article that truly, you know, talks about, you know, either BTS or the fandom with, you know, the nuance that is needed. So when it comes to these dumb interview questions, I feel like they're really just never gonna cease until it gets to a point where BTS is just not promoting in the US music industry, and that's probably just gonna be the day that they just retire from music anyway. So expect a lot of these, you know, dumb questions to continue in the years to come. I really don't see it dying down anytime soon. And you know, with the whole Army's toxic thing, you know, it's just such an overplayed stereotype. Obviously, when it comes to, you know, toxicity within fandoms, even if the, you know, toxic people are a toxic minority, the bigger the fandom is, the bigger that minority is. And of course, that's why so many people can be overwhelmed from problematic people within the fandom. But at the same time, problematic people are found everywhere. So making it a, you know, an exclusively Army problem, like I see so many people doing, is just so incorrect. And, you know, we've talked about this in other episodes. For example, that D'Angelo episode that we had, the two-parter, where, you know, when he did that K-pop stands are over party video, and he was talking about how, you know, there's a lot of like anonymity within like the K-pop industry, and that means that people, because of that, people can use anonymity to do things that they otherwise wouldn't be able to do in real life, because people would be able to hold them responsible and stuff like that. And just treating it like, oh yeah, it's because of this, you know, that K-pop stans are like so toxic, but like you
all
see that type
was
of thing.
Describe the whole internet.
Right, he just described the whole internet. So when people do stuff like that, it just makes me feel like they're really just kind of zeroing in on Army specifically because of the fact that we're an easy target. And, you know, so much of the stuff that is problematic that comes from our fandom, compared to the problematic stuff I've seen come from other fandoms, it is, like, not nearly as bad. And we've said this before, how there are literal fandoms who have been doing smear campaigns for BTS since, like, essentially day one. But, you know, armies have never, ever replicated that same energy in the same exact way. Like, for example, the way that people would be doing all these, like, you know, collective accusations of sejigi or plagiarism. The fact that they had, like, organized smear campaigns to get it to trend to make sure that BTS see it. The fact that they let it get that bad because of their hate for BTS. Armies have never done that towards other groups, and yet somehow everybody who has been responsible for things like that has just been forgiven, and people are like, oh my gosh, it was so long ago, get over it. But then, like, an army calls somebody's group a flop, and, like, suddenly our fandom is the most toxic fandom to ever walk the planet. And, like, Gen 3 K-pop stans, even though what they've done is very problematic, like, I would still say that Gen 3 stans are still even less problematic than Gen 1 and Gen 2 stans, and we've talked about this before, I think in maybe, like, episode 9 or something.
Yeah.
It was the one where it was, like, did third gens ruin K-pop, and we've talked about how there are Gen 1 and Gen 2 stans who were literally, like, beating each other up on site, doing all sorts of organized crime and all this kind of stuff, but, like, now these days, because of the dawn of the internet and social media, you don't really see those types of physical altercations anymore because you're online, and obviously what that anonymity, you know, can have a pull because it means that you're less likely to get caught for what you're doing. And so, like, obviously, you know, a lot of fan wars are just taking place online now. That's just how it is. So I would say that in terms of, you know, being in the fandom, even though there are a lot of people in it who can be annoying, I would say that, like, majority of armies that I come across are just so nice and intelligent and just amazing and beautiful. So yes, I do take offense to people just, like, brushing off the entire fandom as, like, this one big toxic monolith. That always pisses me off.
Yeah. So with that, we will move on to the next submission. And this one says, it's not really a concern, but more something that starts to really annoy me. It's really tiring how we have to prove ourselves to the fandom of an artist that BTS collab with. Like, for example, with Juice WRLD's fandom, all I've seen was hate at the beginning. It was a lot and we ignored it and did our thing, like donating and streaming and promoting. We were really nice to the artists and all of them started to say, OMG, ARMY are actually nice and all. Like, they all have a pre-made idea about us, and I'm wondering, where does this come from? Like, where have you seen that we would be disrespectful to an artist? From France.
It's true, it really just does come from nowhere, because people just assume that we're problematic. They think that, like, any artist that BTS interacts with is automatically going to be hit with hate, and it's like, no, that's not how it works. Like, armies, people think that, like, armies are just, like, these people who are ready to just fight others unprovoked, when it's like, no, it's just that so many people, you know, see, like, they basically treat us with so much disrespect and treat that as the default, like, they treat that as normal, and so they don't understand, like, how rude and how disrespectful they're actually being until armies return the same energy and suddenly it's surprise Pikachu face, like, oh, what are you guys doing, why are you so problematic? Well, it's like, okay, but at the same time, like, why are you being rude to armies out of nowhere? Like, you'll be, like, so many people will be surprised how, you know, unproblematic armies will be if you just treat them with respect from the get-go. It is not hard to just keep an open mind and treat other people with respect, but people don't do that. And that's why, you know, armies always feel the need to defend themselves, or that's why, you know, there you might see some arguments going off on the timeline. And so it really just annoys me, because so many people could just avoid getting on ARMY's bad side if they just respected them like regular human beings, but nobody does that. And so that's why they always like to claim that we're toxic, because it's like, oh, but they treated me this, this, and this way. But it's like, okay, but did you analyze your own behavior and figure out what is causing them to act out this way? Because, like, they'll be complaining about armies being problematic, and then you pull up that person's tweets, and it's like they've been hating on BTS for years now, or they've said something, like, completely racist, and then it's like they're surprised that they're getting jumped. It's just very weird energy to me. And yes, I do hate it, how we have to continuously prove ourselves to other artists' fandoms. Because it's like, we really, like, when it comes to collaborations, ARMYs try and keep it as, like, friendly as possible. You know, if you guys were here for, like, the ARMY Hive streaming parties that we were having with Beyonce's fandoms, that was always iconic, honestly. And, you know, things like, you know, collabing with Coldplayers to do streaming parties, like, things like that are, like, it's always so wholesome. And so it really just, like, breaks my heart having to, you know, see all these wholesome interactions, but then, like, every single time BTS collabs with a new artist, like, their fandoms are, like, scared. It's just, it's a lot.
And sometimes it's not even, like, sorry, Alice is losing her mind because it's snowing really hard right now, so she's, like, all over me and the mic. So if you hear noise, that's what it is. But not even just music collab, but just regular interactions. Like, with the whole thing that happened with SZA, and just, like, how... just, like, how everyone was complaining about how armies were just so rude and toxic towards SZA, and, like, making things up. And it's, like, no one was being rude. Like, everyone was genuinely confused on what she was talking about, because what she said didn't make sense. She changed her story, like, 3-4 times. And also, it's ironic because it's kind of like a fact shared on Twitter between, like, SZA's fans and stuff, that, like, SZA kind of just it's like a pathological liar almost. Like, she just says whatever for, like, no reason.
Unprovoked.
Yeah, like, people who are pathological liars, they will lie about things that the most trivial things you don't need to lie about. Like, lie about their birthday for no reason.
Right.
And so it's really strange how, when people were questioning what SZA meant by how BTS are interacting with her, when we had video proof that that's not what happened, people started acting really defensive over SZA, even though we had video evidence that what she said was not true. But
right,
because it was ARMYs, I guess it was just easy to be like, oh, look, there they go again.
Right, because, like you were saying, like, everybody has this running gag that, like, SZA's just lying about stuff unprovoked. Like, and there's, I've seen so many examples of this online. There have even been articles written about it. So it's like, why are you guys now acting brand new? Like, she's always telling the truth 24/7. Like, she was literally talking about, oh yeah, Lizzo tried to introduce me to BTS, but, like, they kind of didn't care. And then a video comes out and Lizzo is introducing Tae to SZA, and he straight up gave her a hug. And it's like, he gave you a hug, and you're here telling your followers that they just didn't care about you. Like, they made the effort to actually, like, go out of their way and, like, be nice to you and be friendly. And it's just, like, the way that it was worded, like, obviously because of, like, the way that she worded it, it made it seem like BTS were just, like, being rude. And so that first, the way that she worded it the first time, that is what made, like, her fans be, like, disrespectful towards BTS, because they're like, oh my gosh, like, they're so rude, they're so disrespectful, and just started spreading rumors about BTS, like, being mean and just, like, not, like, respecting SZA. And so that led to, like, a lot of, like, racist comments as well. And then that's why ARMY started, like, getting mad, because it's like, SZA, look at what you've now done, because you've now created such a big misunderstanding. Now your fans are being racist towards BTS. But then somehow all of this ended up being pegged as, like, oh, it's all ARMY's fault, they're being so toxic. But it's like, but you guys were being racist first. No, we just wanted clarification for her story, because she was clearly changing it multiple times, literally tweeting and deleting. And it's like, how is it our fault that we just wanted the correct story, because she's making our, like, she's making BTS look bad, when in reality BTS were the ones who were being friendly towards her. So of course ARMYs are going to be upset about that.
Yeah, it's just, it's so annoying how we are clearly the ones that get provoked, but for some reason that whole initial action that provoked us, it just completely ignored, and instead it's like, look, they're doing this because they're toxic and for no other reason.
It's tiring. We're tired. But yeah, that pretty much concludes that section with external fandom issues. So we're going to go and move on to internal fandom issues. And this first submission says, sorry for the novel, no problem, we will read them anyway. But anyway, back to the submission, they say, in light of Yoongi and Juice WRLD's collab and how some people are reacting to ignorant and racist comments regarding it, something I really hate when armies or just people in general do is start beefing with others regardless of if the topic is something trivial or something more serious, is that there's always people who start attacking how the person they're beefing with looks if they got a profile picture of themselves. Obviously, I understand that sometimes you just get so riled up that you lose all logic, but personally, I think insulting someone's looks is one of the lowest things you can do, since it's something one can't change without plastic surgery. It also indirectly influences people reading the comments. For example, if you're out dragging somebody for their big ears, and a third unrelated person with big ears reads that and gets self-conscious about them, it can have a long-lasting negative impact on that third person, too. You've talked about this on the podcast before, but I just want to repeat it. If the comment that gets you mad is something hateful or racist, report it so it can get deleted, or the account can even get suspended if they've made many such comments. If it's something stupid, roll your eyes and move on. If it's something ignorant or untruthful, pull out the receipts and educate them. Resorting to insults about one's looks, or just insults in general, in my opinion, immediately makes you appear the loser to the argument no matter what it is, as you obviously couldn't come up with any actual comeback. Example, a hater will be like, haha, BTS's music sucks. Answer, look who dares to speak when you look this ugly. Seriously? You can come up with a single argument for why BTS's music doesn't suck? Instant loser of the argument, since it makes you look like you can't think of anything that can possibly counter the hater's statement. And obviously insulting one's looks is not as awful as making actual racist comments, but it's still somewhere pretty far down the awful scale for me. If you gotta get personal, at least insult their intelligence or critical thinking skills. At least they can work on that. This might be a first world problem, but it bugs me. Don't y'all love yourself and then be a hypocrite. This is from Austria. Yeah, when it comes to clapping back to people, I personally don't go for, like, I don't know, making comments on, like, their looks or something like that or anything like that. I usually don't get that personal. If they're stupid, I'll call them stupid, but, like, at the same time, when it comes to, like, things like looks or anything, I usually don't go for that because it makes me uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that when I'm on the internet, nothing I say on Twitter isn't something that I wouldn't say offline. That's kind of, like, just how I always go about my internet presence. So if you wouldn't call someone ugly to their face, don't do it online. And I really like what this person had to say about, you know, even if the person that the comment was directed toward, they might not feel hurt by that, but a third passerby might see that, and so you're hurting other people unintentionally, because what you say, you know, it's on a public forum. Anyone can see it. It's not a private, conversation. So right. I think it is important to be mindful of how you interact with others, because while they might not be offended, you know, someone else who sees it might be.
Right, exactly. That's why I just never say something like that, because, you know, you just never, like, obviously it's disrespectful, first of all, and then second of all, even if, like, you didn't care about being disrespectful, you just never know which one of, like, your close mutuals or your close friends might be reading this and just get insecure. Like, it's the same thing with, like, the way that people do this kind of stuff, and it's like, you see the type of things they say about other people who have similar features to you, and it's like, okay, well, so if I was just on your bad side, would you be calling me these names? Is that how you would treat me? So it can really make somebody lose trust in you, the way that they see you treat other people, simply because, like, you just don't like them. So definitely, like, we have said in previous podcasts, if you see something that is an unfavorable comment, if it's something that's, like, racist or just, like, really, really derogatory, just report it and block it and just do not engage. And hopefully that account can get suspended. if it's something that's just like ignorant or wrong, you can always educate them. Or if it's something like really stupid, like, oh, BTS sucks, like, I can just, that's the type of comment that I can just scroll past and just be like, okay, whatever, loser. But like, honestly, just don't get so personal where you just feel the need to be insulting people's looks like that. I usually just don't go for that, honestly. So yeah, definitely at least be somewhat respectful when you're, you know, clapping back. There's ways to do it where it's classy, you know?
Exactly. And so this next submission says, not to inhibit anyone's free speech, but there are a lot of people on Stan Twitter, Army Twitter included, who would be better off not speaking on certain issues because they simply don't know how to craft an argument. Crying face emoji. Even if the main point they're making is correct, they still end up looking stupid and embarrassing the rest of us because they can't back up their argument very well. There's also no point in trying to explain something to a person who is clearly biased against BTS and armies and are not willing to change their mind. From the USA. Yeah, pick your battles, because if someone clearly doesn't like BTS and armies, as sad as that is, because it usually comes from some prejudiced viewpoint, but if they really do not like BTS, there's probably nothing you can say that'll make them at least feel neutral toward them, because they have already created this idea in their head, and it is very difficult to change that idea that they have. So some things just are not worth your energy.
Especially when they have a big platform, like the person you're trying to convince, because it just gets so annoying. You know, like, why would you ever, you know, waste that energy being in their mentions? Because then, like, their minions are going to be under your comments and they're going to be, like, just saying all sorts of disrespectful stuff to you. It honestly is just never a good idea, and it damages your mental health. So it's a lose-lose situation. So they're just people who will honestly never be, you know, supportive of BTS, and we're gonna have to deal with that, but just not in ways where it's like you're directly trying to convince somebody. For example, if I see somebody make an unfavorable tweet but I know that they're not gonna listen to me, I'll just make my own tweet and rant about it. I may not even directly like reference what exactly I'm talking about, but just having, you know, that time to rant in a separate place where you know you're not going to get, like, jumped by their stans, I think is a lot more of a better alternative. So, for anybody who feels like they want to be under, I don't know, like, Keemstar or Perez Hilton's mentions talking about why they need to respect BTS, don't bother. They're not going to care.
Yes, please, don't bother. And then, to touch upon what the other thing this person said in their submission about if you aren't able to eloquently state your point, maybe see if someone else has already stated it, because once again, if multiple people are talking about the same issue and the points they made are good, you don't need to add to it.
Right.
And I know, like, some people will expect a certain viewpoint from some people just because they care about what they think. Like, Daisy's a big account, so people might want her to say something about whatever's happening. But a lot of times, she'll just retweet something someone else has already said, because why, like, what's the point in adding your own opinion if the thoughts you've spoken are already out there? Like, that's what the retweet button is for.
Exactly. Sometimes, like, you just need to figure out where to place your energy. If somebody has said something about a specific topic and it's something that you agree with completely, there's usually just no need to make a new tweet about it. Just retweet and, you know, move on. And if you want to engage with discussion with people under the replies, that's also your prerogative. But at the same time, it is always good to just, like, sometimes let other people speak on issues, especially if you're not fully informed about something. It's just always better to look to people who know better or who know how to express themselves better, because the way that some people express themselves on Twitter, it's unique. So I don't know. Sometimes it really is like, again, like this person is saying, like, it's like not trying to inhibit, you know, anyone's freedom of speech, but some people just truly are better at expressing their thoughts and opinions in a way that is not either ignorant or stupid looking or respectful. Sorry, disrespectful, I mean. But yeah, that pretty much sums up that submission. So the next one says, protecting the privacy of the members isn't only going after fan sites, but also checking yourselves and your friends, because there's no reason why anyone should be trying to uncover what the members are doing during their vacation or who they are choosing to spend their time with. It's none of our business. Please mind your own. And this is from Brazil. This is absolutely true, because so many people will, like, for example, see, I don't know, let's say that, like, Namjoon has posted a photo on Instagram and it's, like, of a group of friends and, like, all their faces are censored because, obviously, for privacy reasons. But, like, people are trying to figure out, oh, was anyone around the area? Did you see who he was with? Oh, what gender are they? And it's, like, why are you trying to find this out? If Namjoon wanted to share that kind of information with us, then he would have done it already. The fact that he censored his friends' faces, the fact that we don't know their names, the fact that we don't know what gender they are, is done on purpose. So just don't bother them when they've clearly decided that they didn't want to share that information with us. You know, a lot of people think that because BTS has this close relationship with ARMYs, that we're suddenly entitled to every little thing about their lives, when that's not true. They have every right to be private with certain things compared to other things, and we need to respect that as fans.
It's also just so weird that that's what people think of. Like, if I see them post a picture on Instagram with some friends that have their faces covered, I really don't think twice about it. I just like the picture. I'm like, oh, look, he's hanging with his friends. And then that's it. Like, I do not go out of my way to be curious on who it is, because honestly, I mean, I'm sorry if it, like, sounds mean, but I don't care. Why do you care? Why should we care?
Right. If I see him with his friends, like, the deepest I go is like, oh, I wonder what they were talking about that day, or oh, I wonder what restaurants they ate at. I'm not really, like, that curious about, like, the actual people themselves. But, you know, just wondering, oh, I wonder what they're doing on their vacation. Just, like, that type of, like, regular curiosity. But that's about it for me. The way that so many people, like, for example, there was that one girl who I think she was, like, at, like, a museum or something. Or just where she was in, like, the same area as, like, Namjoon doing something or whatever. And she happened to spot him, I think. And he was with, like, a friend or something. And people were, like, all up in her DMs asking, oh my gosh, who was the person? What did they look like? And it's like, why are you asking her these questions, okay? Like, that is not information that we need to know, so definitely just mind your business. It doesn't matter, guys.
And with that, the next mission says, the members didn't create Instagram accounts, so you guys can compare which member is the most popular and the most hated one. I'm not even talking about solo stans. It's some armies doing this. Please stop doing this. It's not cute, you're not helping, and it's frankly irritating. From Brazil. Yeah, I expected this. As soon as BTS started opening up an Instagram, I was like, oh great, people are gonna compare followers and whatnot, and people are gonna, just like how people would compare fan cam views, and it's like, oh, this member got the least fan cam views, so that means that armies aren't appreciating them enough, and blah blah blah. But there's so many third external factors that people completely ignore. You know, there might be some other celebrities following BTS members, and they might be fond of particular members, and, you know, that's their prerogative. There might be people who just come across BTS in their recommended, and they just don't follow every single member. Like, that's just how it works. To make this assumption that, oh, this member is, you know, armies aren't caring about this member, or, you know, this member is clearly the most disliked member and we need to, like, support them more, blah 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 blah. It's like, these narratives that there is one member that is not as liked as the other members. It's all in your head. It's all in your head.
Right. And aside from, like, the examples that Delilah mentioned of, like, other, like factors that could influence, like, things like following counts or view counts, there also is the solo community, which I feel is the biggest extraneous variable of them all, where, you know, because of the different numbers of solos for different members, naturally some, like, videos or some accounts, like, are going to be skewed in their numbers in comparison to other ones because of how many solos are there. So, for example, like, the Maknae line solos, I definitely think that compared to, like, all the member solos, like, the Maknae line solos are the highest in number, or they're at least the loudest on Twitter. So, obviously, like, they're going to be skewing following or, like, fan cam views and stuff a lot more compared to, like, other member solos. And so that usually has, like, a, you know, an effect. Not that significant, really, because solos, despite the fact that they are quite a presence online, they're actually not that big. They make themselves look bigger than they actually are because that's a tactic that they do. But in terms of that, I feel like that's definitely also something that contributes to it. So definitely, I just really hate this idea of comparing and contrasting with other members. And it's really not what we're here for. At the end of the day, you know, we're here to just look at them, post their cute pics, and watch them flirt with each other in the comments. And that is pretty much it. That's all we are following their Instagrams for. So just focus on the main plot of the movie, please.
Exactly. So, next submission. Maybe my concern is giving so much attention. My concern is giving so much attention to aunties when they mention BTS from Italy.
Yeah, when it comes to giving attention to aunties, there are definitely a lot of people who give so much more than is actually needed, and that is what ends up giving said auntie or issue that they're talking about, like, exposure. And so there are definitely a lot of times where I would wish that people would just not do that and just figure out a way to maybe address an issue without making it such, like, a big deal. Because, you know, just the way that things are on the timeline, especially because there's so much hyper visibility within our fandom, there are a lot of eyes on us. And so when something quote-unquote juicy or dramatic is happening, best believe all the journalists are going to be on our ass. So this is why people always say to be careful whenever there's an issue and, like, figure out you know, a more discreet way of talking about it, because you don't know who's going to be reading your tweets, you don't know who's going to be listening to your Twitter spaces, and then suddenly it's being written about, like, the biggest media publications, and then what?
Right. It really does suck when things are clearly meant to provoke a reaction, and then we give them exactly what they want.
Right, so if you need, you know, any type of, if you feel like you basically are just reacting too much to anti-tweets, or you feel like you're just doing too much in terms of that kind of stuff, just take a step back and just really focus on why you're here on Twitter. You're not here to fight with other people. You're not here to give attention to aunties. Your first priority is for BTS. And honestly, there are a lot of fights on Twitter that are just not worth the effort. So I would say that if you find yourself engaging too much with fan wars or with aunties, you need to take a break. You need to log off.
Right. And we talk a lot about that in our previous episodes, especially episode 3, I think.
Yes.
So we'll just leave it at that.
Right. So the next submission, they say, ever since the concert, I've noticed a large spike in the defense of fan sites, even people stating they had no clue they were even following them. There needs to be a crash course on how to spot fan sites and why any fan site is bad, even if they do not go to the airport or take photos of the boys on private time. And this is from the USA. Yes, when it comes to fan sites, there are a lot of people who will defend them so unusually, when it's like, it is literally against the rules to be bringing in those massive cameras into concert venues. And fan sites consistently break the rules and bring them in, and also make other armies around them uncomfortable by pushing and shoving and just being, like, rude and disrespectful in general to other concert goers and ruining their concert experience. So even if they're not going to the airport or they're not taking photos of the boys in their private time, there still are plenty of instances in where they're breaking rules. And we have seen in a lot, there's definitely been some videos who have been circulated of fan sites when they're taking photos of the boys, and you can clearly see that they're like not enjoying the concert. They're really just there to take photos and go. So is this really who we're wanting to be going to BTS concerts? People who are literally seeing taking photos of the boys as nothing more than just a job, another way to make money. They don't even like have an army bomb with them. They're not even like singing the songs. They're just there to take photos, and then when they're done taking photos, then they just leave. Some of them even leave early, so like you can clearly tell that they don't care.
What blows my mind is we have gone over a year without fan site pics because of COVID. So shouldn't COVID prove how much we don't need them? Like, the fandom expanded every comeback. BTS does not need fan sites, and it really blows my mind how people either I guess they could miss the fan site discourse, because if there weren't fan sites during the time, then they wouldn't understand why we've given up on them. But overall, fan sites have been proven to not be necessary.
So that concludes that submission. So moving on to the next one, they say, "Hello, I was wondering if we could all work together to make more productive use of Weverse. I feel like we have a great platform to organize ourselves as a fandom and do activities without being overly disrupted, but the chaos on Twitter and negativity spreading these days with solos, mantis, antis, etc. I'm not really sure how we can make this come together, but I hope Weverse can become a more useful platform for armies," and this is from Nepal. Yeah, I think that it would be nice to, you know, find something to do with Weverse that's a little bit more organized than just like sending the boys like cute little messages. Definitely I think that's still an important part of Weverse, and I still think that we should keep doing that, but I do wonder what else we could do with Weverse, because I definitely do think it would be like really cool to like have some type of like organization on there the same way that like Twitter is organized. But I don't know, definitely we should have a discussion about that in the fandom and, you know, start spitballing ideas.
Like, I feel like it would be good to spread comeback goals and stuff using the tags on Weverse. If people on Twitter can agree to a Weverse hashtag, then that can go to Weverse. And that is something that I think would be useful. But I don't know if there are any, like, Weverse organization type accounts on Twitter to kind of be that bridge, so it would be nice if we had something like that.
Yeah, definitely something to work on in the future. I definitely do think that since we have, you know, 2022, we have the whole year, I mean, why not? I mean, that could be something that could be like a cute little fandom-wide project. Yes, so next submission. They say, "Honestly, I have no concerns about anything major since we stay winning, period. But I had noticed during all the different awards, a lot of armies weren't voting and would say stuff like, 'We're gonna win anyway, so why vote?' And I'm not going to stress about it since there's so many of us, we can take turns. While taking breaks and focusing on your life is good, since there are people who literally have no time or are not able to vote, that also means that it's also Army's job to fill in the roles that aren't being filled because it isn't possible for them. I feel like a lot of armies are forgetting the importance of voting and just stopped, but I'm sure that with a lot of encouragement, we continue to show BTS our love. Go Army." And this is from the USA. I don't see too much of that on my timeline, but I definitely have seen that before where some people really, you know, slack a little bit in voting and forget how important it is that all of us are on the same page to support. And so I do think it is nice to encourage voting when possible. Obviously in a way that is not like disrespectful or that's not demanding or that's not aggressive, but there are definitely ways to do that. So I feel like, you know, if people are saying, "Oh, you know, why bother? We're going to win." Well, if everybody has the mentality, then no one's going to vote.
Right. And another thing is, if you aren't going to vote and you're not interested in voting, then don't you don't have to put that energy out on your timeline. You know what I mean?
Right.
If other people are excited and, like, working together to vote, you don't have to interrupt the vibes and be like, well, I'm not going to vote. What's the point?
Right, because, like, it's like, well, no one asked you.
Right, like, you're ruining the vibes. Come on, read the room a little bit. Mm.
Exactly. So I feel like if you're not going to vote, and just keep that to yourself, and stop trying to discourage other people from voting, because just because you may not have time or you may not feel like it, that doesn't necessarily mean that other people need to feel that way. And so I just don't understand that, like, spread of negativity. So I would say that definitely for sure when it comes to award seasons, we need to be focused. If you can vote, please take the time to do so. If you don't have time to vote as many times as you need to per day or whatever, you can just retweet the other tweets that are encouraging other people to vote. And also be positive when you're encouraging people. Don't be rude and saying stuff like, oh, you guys aren't trying hard enough. That's obviously not going to get people to help vote. So there are ways to go about it that I feel like we've talked about before in earlier podcast episodes. Mm-hmm.
So we can go to the next submission. This one says, hello, greetings from Malaysia. As an army from 2018 that has seen how easy it is to lose baby armies by feeding them with false info, I've noticed that many harmful and toxic YouTube channels have been getting subscribers with the fandom growth progressively since 2020. It is extremely difficult to take these channels down with such a massive following, mainly because baby armies are misled into believing them, resulting in a blatant mischaracterization of BTS. I believe that finding a way to shut down these channels is the first step toward assisting baby armies and learning more about BTS, only because they commonly use YouTube as their first platform to learn more about the boys and their non-music and music content. From Malaysia.
This is very true.
I mean, I learned a lot about, most of my learning from about BTS came from YouTube too.
Same. So I feel like definitely in terms of this, like, there are definitely, like, YouTube channels that have just gotten so much clout. And honestly, this is also, like, another perfectly timed submission, because a few days ago, because right now it is January 16th, we were having a conversation about that YouTube channel, Cameron Phillip, and how he was talking about how, well, it was more of an unrelated tweet, because he was talking more about how TXT was his favorite group now, but, like, you look at his YouTube channel and most of his vids are about, like, BTS, even though, like, they're not really his favorite group anymore. But I don't know, it just seemed like a little bit of, like, clout chasing or whatever. But, like, some of the videos he has made about BTS, I do feel perpetuate harmful stereotypes about them, especially when it comes to Jungkook, Jimin, and who else was it? Yoongi. I feel like when it comes to, like, how he's perpetuated their characters in his, like, if BTS were dubbed videos, where he basically just does voiceovers of, like, BTS clips, I feel like the way that he kind of portrays them as people is kind of, like, a bit whack, you know? The way he kind of treats Yoongi as this, like, disrespectful, I don't give an F type of person. And yeah, sure, Yoongi is the type of person where he's, like, very, like, honest, and he's very, like, straightforward with how he feels about something, but to make him seem like this cold, uncaring, like, disrespectful person, I feel isn't really right. Mm-hmm. And, like, the way that he kind of portrays Jimin sometimes is, like, this, like, attention-seeking person who's, like, literally obsessed with Jungkook, I think that wasn't cool. And then, like, Jungkook as this kind of, like, jerk kind of person, like, it was, like, kind of, like, the stereotypical, like, bad boy type of vibes that I would see people write Jungkook as on, like, I don't know, Wattpad or something. So, like, it was just, like, things like that just added up over time that really just, I don't know, I really haven't liked his channel for a while. And, yeah, so it's YouTube channels like that definitely, for some reason, end up getting popular because new armies see it and they think that, oh, you know, this is the channel that likes BTS, so they couldn't possibly be wrong about any of the things that they put out about BTS. And so they end up following these channels, but then these channels aren't necessarily, like, the best ways to learn about BTS. So, yeah, they're I feel like there needs to be some sort of intervention there.
Exactly. And I feel like we bully Squishing and Yoongi a little bit too much on this podcast. They're not that bad, okay? They're really not. They did make, you know, getting into BTS as a group very accessible and just, like, easy to digest. especially because it is seven members, and a lot of people, you know, kind of question how seven people in one group can have a functioning dynamic. So I think they did a good job of trying to show that, but, you know, some things aren't exactly the most accurate and are outdated, so it would just be really nice if people, I don't know, maybe people could make a playlist of, like, the most helpful videos that are currently on YouTube, and then that playlist can be sent to baby armies, so then that way, they're watching videos that are, like, fandom approved, maybe? I don't know, that's hard to do, but it's just an idea in my head.
I think that's a good suggestion, though, just to have, like, a playlist where, like, you have, like, either a bunch of channels or a bunch of videos that you could watch that are the most accurate in telling BTS's story and talking about them as both musicians and as people. So that might be something that we may just have to explore, because, you know, it's easier, you know, for prevention rather than correction further down the line. So that I feel like that just might have to be the route that we're going to go. And so that's concludes that submission. So now we're down to our last submission of part two, and this submission says, armies that engage in any type of new and old beef with other fandoms aren't army to me, and I don't think they would be considered army by BTS. And this is from Antarctica. I don't know if you're actually from Antarctica, but if you are, that is insane. Oh my god. But
like, I don't think we've ever gotten someone from Antarctica. So if you really are from Antarctica, congrats. You are our first person. Our first.
Say hi to the penguins for me.
Say hi to the penguins. Would that annoy them? I don't know. I've never met anyone from Antarctica. I don't know if it's like making fun of penguins and polar bears, like, offensive to them or not.
Okay. So in terms of the submission that they sent, yeah, there is a lot of beef that really does not need to be had. For example, if you are busy, like, going back and forth with XOLs this year, oh god. My god, what is wrong with you? Trash.
Let it go, guys. Let it go. Please.
All honestly, right. Like, even VIPs try to... Why do I call them VIPs? But VIPs.
VIPs! I'm never letting that go.
I got confused.
Sounds like some off-brand of Vicks Vapor Rub.
I was literally just about to say that. Oh my god, we're sharing the same brain cell. Same anyway. Anyway, VIPs, they try to start something. I think like last week or something. I remember just seeing some tweet, and I was like, are they for real? Like, still beefing with us? I don't even remember what they were saying per se. But I just the fact that they were from Big Bang's fandom, like, that just, like, it gave me whiplash, you know? So, like, anybody who's actually, like, beefing with those types of fandoms, I think it's just trash. There are definitely a lot of, like, arguments we can ignore. I definitely think that if somebody has said something, like, ignorant or, like, straight up disrespectful, though, I think that's okay to call out. Obviously, just be mindful of how you do it, because there's definitely ways to shut down arguments that don't involve, like, fueling the fire. So, yeah, I would just say that for the most part, just focus on, you know, what BTS is doing. Focus on nicer things that armies are talking about. Obviously, there's no way that you can fully avoid negativity. That's not possible. But definitely try and regulate how much you respond to negativity on your timeline.
Exactly. We say it a lot, but when you are consuming BTS content and interacting with fans, and you need to see if you're interacting with aunties more than fans, and if you are talking about BTS, like what BTS are doing, are you talking about their music, are you talking about maybe a Ren episode, or are you once again just, you know, clapping back at people, because you're not having fun. Like, you're exhausting yourself, you're exhausting people that follow you, and also, if you weren't even here for that beef, why are you acting personally offended? I get personally offended because I was freaking there and people try to change the narrative and it makes me feel crazy because I lived it. I experienced it. So that's right. Why some armies are particularly defensive because they were there. But if you weren't there, I mean, yeah, you should still learn about it. You should still be aware of it. But
You should not be on the front lines
acting like it is some personal attack, especially when it is old beef that some of us, it's kind of like a live but don't forget type of thing. Like, we're gonna move on, so we're not stuck in the past, but we're also not gonna forgive it either.
Right, there's just so many ways to go about it that just don't end up, like, burning even more bridges than necessary. So just be careful about what you're talking about and how you're talking about on the timeline. For more information, please see episode 3 of our podcast. But, yeah, I think that pretty much concludes all the submissions for this part. So, in the next segment of Army and Arms, the final part of this segment, we're gonna still be in internal fandom issues, and then we're gonna move on to solos and shippers after that. So stay tuned for the next installment, which is going to be coming out tomorrow, and we will see you then.
Exactly. If you are on the East Coast, stay warm this week. If you are on the West Coast, stay safe. There was a tsunami warning.
So, I know. So much is going on.
So, you know, be careful, and we will see you next time. All right, bye for now.
Bye.